This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. That's what it sounds like to swim around and talk to some of the sea life in a new virtual reality game called The Lost City of Myrrh. The player swims through the ruins of a lost civilization and has the opportunity through the game to bring it back to life. The game is the creation of filmmaker Liz Kanner, and she has a very specific purpose in mind for it, to educate people about the real-life risks of climate change and coral reef loss. Liz Kanner, welcome back to Vermont Edition.
Thank you so much for having me on your show, Jane. I'm a big fan.
Well, thank you. I want to play this game now, but I want you to describe, since sadly we're not in the virtual reality setting right this moment, what we would actually be seeing when we hear those seal sounds in the game.
So the sounds come from Athena, and she's your spirit guide that takes you through this lost civilization. And you're the last surviving mer in this world. And the mer being mermaids, they've gone extinct because of ocean acidification and temperature rise due to climate change. And when you arrive in a birthing cave, and Athena teaches you how to swim. And you literally swim using the same gestures you would use when you were swimming in water. And she gives you a tour of what was once your city that's now full of mermaid skeletons. And you see the Mer Metamorphosis Lab and the University of Human Seduction, because as we know, mermaids seduce humans. But in this case, in our story, they seduce humans to love nature. And then you're taken to the secret coral garden, which while you're there, pollution starts to seep in, which is a big problem facing the reefs right now. And you're asked to try and stop it and save the little bit of reef that's left alive. And once you do that, you're rewarded with a coral planter fish that's been genetically modified that you're then able to go to this cathedral cave where the sirens and the mermaids used to sing and try to bring them back by planting your own beautiful coral garden.
So in the game, does it get more bright and colorful as you do more remediation?
Exactly. You see the results of your actions and the ecosystem starts to return. So the idea was to make something where people feel like they have agency and teach them the real science at the same time in terms of what's happening to the reefs and what we can do to start to try to save them, which is actually coral planting and lowering our real world carbon footprint. And of course, pushing for policy change.
And as for Athena, those seal sounds, you kind of wrote the language for the seals. Is that right?
Yeah. So what we did was we took real seal vocalizations. Andrew Bobian helped with the sound design on that. And we used a vocoder and we took them and we basically made a language out of those vocalizations. And then in the game, it's all subtitled.
So you mentioned that the aim of the game is really to think about our own impact on our landscape, and in this case, certainly the watery landscape, and then to do something about it. And we'll talk in a minute about the real world app that can go along with this. But did you worry at all about being too preachy or sort of off-putting to gamers when, you know, it says right in the subtitle that the aim is to reduce your carbon footprint? Or do you, you know, think you'll get a sort of new, different set of gamers in? How did you think about that interplay?
Well, we were a little concerned, but the world is so fantastical under there that I think one quickly forgets that it's in some ways trying to be didactic. We tried to really keep it within the story. And we've been surprised. We even have someone who's an esports champion who tried it and he loves it. And now he's going to come and work with us for a week this summer and try and figure out how we can get gamers to start playing it. And he's a teenager. And so we're finding that all sorts of people are drawn to it. I think because it's a new way to sort of look at this problem, but do it in a way that's a lot of fun and also where it makes you want to like take action, we hope.
And this is still in beta testing still, but it hasn't fully had a full release yet. It's going to come out in the fall.
Yes, it's going to come out in November. We showed it at the White River Indie Film Festival, and we're going to show it at the Vermont International Film Festival in October. And then in November, we're planning to release it with an app that goes with it, where you are sent as a mermaid to land on a mission to try and lower your own carbon footprint because you're a leader and get others to do the same to help revive this civilization.
I think you should say that it's in beta fish testing right now. That's my free advice
yes,
for you.
Definitely.
What actually gave you this idea? I mean, you're a filmmaker. I think I interviewed you before, I think, for your film Orgasm, yes, Inc. So
you did.
Why, you know, what made you decide, oh, I'm going to go into the video gaming realm?
Well, I started looking at what's been out there, and there's already a lot of films about what's happening to the reefs and what's happening in terms of climate change. So I was interested in trying to pursue a new angle on this and to make something. I think that what these new technologies do, and I'm always interested in trying to incorporate new technologies into my work, is they allow us to actually do something that's more alive, that can respond to us, that we can keep going back to over and over again. And, you know, with film, it's just sort of like one narrative. But with this, it's a whole different form of interplay and a way of looking at the issue. And we worked with real scientists, so at Harvard and Dartmouth. So it's based on real science, but then told in this other realm.
Were there challenges that you didn't expect from that were a change from filmmaking to video gaming?
Oh, it's a whole new language. I mean, it's a whole different kind of narrative. With filmmaking, it's just like this linear narrative, and then you're done. With this, you have to like constantly try and think about what everybody's going to do in that world, because we wanted to make it as responsive as possible. And what I hadn't realized, which was kind of a wonderful discovery in a way, but also very challenging, is that everybody who's gone in there has played it differently. And so we had to try and make something that would respond to people go in all different directions. They swim at different speeds. They want to do different things. And so we had to try and make that every time someone did something, like it felt like that there was a world there that knew it was going to do that, and that the seal would come and respond to you, and that everything would move forward. So the biggest challenge in some ways was the programming, and then also learning how to do that programming. There was a lot of troubleshooting, but I had a very good team that helped me.
And as for the app, the real world app that can go along with the game, I mean, there's some tie-ins, so you can use your real world applications to then get some rewards in the game. But the idea of the app is to try to actually get people to take some action, even small action, in their real life on climate change.
Right. So the app does reward you. I mean, I feel like part of the problem with climate change is that it's not visible all the time. And the reefs in some ways are a wonderful barometer, scary, upsetting barometer about, you know, sort of seeing what's happening. And so what we did was we made the app so it rewards you for doing real world action, and then you see the reef start to come back to life on your phone, and you see your seal spirit pet live a much more vibrant life. So it's a way to sort of try and make this visual and then reward you for doing good, which we so rarely get. And so that was part of the idea.
Has making this game changed your approach or your perception of video gaming at all? I mean, I don't know how much of a gamer you were before, but have you changed anything about your gaming activities?
Well, I grew up on Pac-Man, and I was a beta tester for Second Life and some other games. But I have to say, I haven't been a big fan of a lot of mainstream video games, the ones that are especially their violence, just not something that I'm particularly drawn to. And so I wanted to think about how can we create something that rewards you for generating life. And so, yes, I've started playing a lot of VR games, which is something I hadn't really done before. And it's a whole new world. It's really exciting to finally be able to be in a 3D space, move around, be able to pick things up, be able to swim. I just think that this is a whole new frontier for media, and especially for learning. So it's very exciting, and I've been enjoying exploring those games.
Liz Kanner is the creator of the virtual reality game, The Lost City of Myrrh, and we will put a link up to the game's website at vermontedition.vpr.org, where you can see the images and a trailer. Liz, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me on the show.